they have been paying our Medicaid and have been current on their payments with Medicaid. In regards to our other contracts, they have yet to pay us for our crisis services or our psychiatric medications, and they are only paying a partial payment on our supportive residential for those with a serious mental illness. I don't believe we will see payments for those contracts until the budget is approved and appropriations are made.
What is the total amount that the state is in DIA for?
Right now, they owe us about $200,000. Those are the contracts that have been signed by the Illinois Department of Human Services. But of course, they've cut us over $700,000 in contracts.
And what happened to those services and those people?
The primary contracts that we have lost, the largest one is psychiatric services. The second one is funding for those that have no Medicaid. And right now in psychiatric services, we have an ongoing demand for those that need to see a psychiatrist. Currently, if they are not a current patient of Tazewood, we are sending them to the local ER room or to their primary care physician. As far as the non-Medicaid population, these are typically people that may be homeless, that don't know how to get onto Medicaid. They may have some onset symptoms of a mental illness, and they may walk in the door, and we have no non-Medicaid funding to work with those people and provide services. So again, we're sending them out the door to either the local hospital or primary care physician.
How many of those people are hitting the ERs at a much higher expense than you were delivering services?
Oh, it's a good estimate is probably 10 times. Typical cost for those walking into an ER is about $2,500 for them to see an ER doctor. They walk into Tazewood, the typical cost may be anywhere between $130 and $150.
And how many of them did you used to serve that are now showing up at ERs?
Pekin Hospital said that they have seen a very large increase in people showing up to their ER suffering from serious mental illness symptoms that are not able to be seen by Tazewood and our providers.
So how many did you used to average per year that you served under that program?
Right now we're serving about the same as what we served last year. We're serving about 900 individuals in our psychiatric services program. We're serving them. We're losing about $30,000 a month to serve those people, but we're turning away any new people. And how many we're seeing at least one a day, if not more, coming in here needing to see the psychiatrist. I can't tell you how many we've turned away.
I was hoping to get some sort of estimate based on average patient refresh rates, because some patients leave, some patients come in any given year.
Yes. I'd say we're starting to see about 100, I'd say at least 100 people less this year than last fiscal year.
Just because you're not taking anybody new?
Correct.
Okay. So those 100 would be a good estimate of people who go to ERs.
Oh, over 100. I'm sure well over 100 that are going to the ERs.
Back in late summer of last year and early fall, I talked with you folks at Tazewood, and you were hoping to use reserves and then have the board reassess late in the year. What has happened since then in terms of personnel, in terms of reserves, and in terms of the outlook going forward?
Tazewood, like I said, has lost about $30,000 a month in psychiatric services because we have retained our psychiatrist. We have not laid off any individuals, but we have not filled open positions. As we lose people through attrition, we are not replacing those people. We are living on reserves because we are at a loss of well over $100,000 for this fiscal year at Tazewood. We will be reassessing our situation in the next month to 2 months. It's an ongoing conversation with our board of directors in determining when it's time to start eliminating programs. And the first program we'll be looking at is psychiatric services. Interestingly, in the state of Illinois, 86% of community mental health centers have either reduced their services, reduced their psychiatric hours, or completely eliminated psychiatric services.
86%.
86.
So that's a fundamental change in the human service landscape.
Yes.
Is it possible to reconstruct that ever, even if they, by some miracle, decide what they're going to do in Springfield?
Oh, that's a very good question. Before this financial crisis, we had a shortage in psychiatric doctors in the state of Illinois. As organizations eliminate or reduce their programs and those services, they're losing their psychiatrists. These psychiatrists are going to other states. How we're going to get them back, I don't know. In a shortage, it's very, very difficult to hire a psychiatrist and psychiatric nurses as well. I don't know. If we let this go, I don't know how we'll ever bring it back. I don't know where I'll find a psychiatrist.
What's the long-term implication for civil society?
I see mental health. It's a crisis in the United States. It's going to be a bigger crisis here in the state of Illinois if we don't seriously consider funding mental health in the state of Illinois. Every single person in this state will be impacted when they need to go see their doctor, when they need to go to the local ER. They won't necessarily need to go to the jail, but a lot of these people end up in the jails. They end up in nursing homes. They end up in the hospitals. And it's going to certainly impact the level of services that other people in the state will receive. It's scary when you think about people with a serious mental illness. A lot of them have suicidal and homicidal ideations. That can create a lot of uncertainty. It can create definitely an unstable situation in our neighborhoods and in our towns and cities.
If you were no longer to be able to offer psychiatric services, how many jobs would be lost in the community?
Tazewood alone, I'd say 5 jobs, 2 psychiatrists, and all the support staff that work with the psychiatrist. It would mean 900 people would need to find another place to go to get their medications, injections, things like that.
You said the next assessment period is about a month away. What are your reserves like right now?
Well, we've lost 100,000 of our reserves. We still have reserves, and we can survive this for a couple more years. All of it depends on a lot of other factors as far as will the state continue to pay Medicaid. As soon as they quit paying for our Medicaid services, we have maybe 6 months of cash left.
Is that a likely prospect that they would stop paying Medicaid or reduce Medicaid back to pre-Affordable Care Act expansion levels?
Right now you hear about the backlog in the comptroller's office. They're paying, but the comptroller continues to announce that the backlog is getting larger, that they don't have the money to pay the bills. I don't know when the time will come when she determines that she cannot even pay those services. That time's going to come if a budget is not passed and appropriations are not made.
How do you sleep at night?
It feels like 9 months of no sleeping. My biggest concern is this community and the people we serve and my employees, trying to figure out ways to provide job security for them, to make sure they have jobs 3 years from now, and to try to make sure that there's never a disruption in services to the most vulnerable people in this community, it's very difficult, and it can be very stressful for everybody here.
You know, lawmakers have had their ears bent on this issue and bent on this issue. The Republicans are holding fast. The Democrats are holding fast. Nobody's budging. What can the ordinary street-level person do to affect this situation?
I think the best thing they can do is continue to contact their legislator and the governor's office and demand that they come together and that a budget be passed. I hear from our legislators that they don't hear from the people that we serve. Well, the people we serve are the most vulnerable. They don't necessarily have a voice. That voice would be Tazewood and other community agencies and the general public, the people that live out in the community that are aware of this situation should be hollering and contacting the legislators and demanding something be done.
Do you have any particular example to put a human face on what's happening here?
It's kind of interesting. In my position, I don't see clients very much. One day, I had just met. It was at a meeting with the legislators, and I walked through the door, and there was a young man standing there, and he stopped me to ask me about help with his paperwork. And he began to tell me his story about how he was having visions of slaughtering his terminally ill father.
Oh my.
And what was really eye-opening for me with seeing these funds be cut from mental health, I'm at the point I have to ask if somebody has a pay source. Gone are those days that I can serve anybody showing those type of symptoms. And the first question I had to ask this young man, very young, 20, 21, 22 maybe, I had to say, do you have Medicaid?
Did he?
He did.
You were able to serve
him. We were fortunate that we were able to serve him.
But that's not the kind of guy you want to let go out the door again.
No, it's certainly not the kind of person I'd like to let out the door. If he would not have had it, I would have had to turn him away. And that's where we're at now.